Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me for another week of studying God's Word together, hearing what is God saying to us and what are we doing about it. And this week, we're going to be in a little chunk of scripture in Paul's letter to Timothy. And he has two letters to Timothy. We're going to be in his second letter to Timothy. And after we kind of read our psalm and pray and dive in, we're going to get into a little bit of background. And if you're with us last week, we talked about one of Jesus' parables, the wedding feast, the virgins, the 10 virgins preparing their lamps with oil for the wedding feast. And it might feel kind of like a jarring jump at times to go from like, okay, Jesus is teaching in the parables to Paul's really particular instruction in his letters. But a way, friends, that we cultivate this oil, remember we talked about last week, and if you didn't join us, you can go last week and hear online, you can hear those episodes last week. We talked about cultivating that oil of intimacy. And oil of intimacy isn't just like feeling God. It's not just like, oh, I'm sitting in prayer and I feel God and I feel so good and I feel him close. It's this closeness with God that's developed through time with him and then subsequently obeying him, living under his authority and his lordship that comes out of that desire to obey, comes out of that time that we have with him. And so intimacy is cultivated both by spending time with God and then walking in obedience to his authority, walking in obedience to his command. And so we see here Paul, as he instructs Timothy, who is one of his sons in the faith, we'll see him instructing us on some really key ways to live. Right? Because when we spend time with the Lord in prayer, like the first triumph is to say, okay, Lord, help me spend time every day in prayer with you, but then help me be transformed during that time of prayer. So when I'm leaving, when I'm going to my work, when I'm going back to my family, when I'm in my life, I'm actually changed in the way that I'm living and that I'm walking is actually changed. Because friends, what God is not after is just like a nice little devotional time that's quiet, that doesn't touch the rest of your life. God is after, he's after you walking in transformation. And we talked about this a lot on the show. He's after you walking in transformation with a transformed heart and a transformed mind. That is what he desires. That is what he's after. And so Paul's going to instruct us a bit. And so to begin here, let's begin in our Psalms. And again, I'm not totally sure where we left off. So we're going to jump to one of my favorites, Psalm 115. And we're going to pray together. And then we're going to dive into God's word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, though those who go down into the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forever. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, today, as we come before you and read your word together, we start by just glorifying you. We praise you. We worship you, for as high as the heavens are, higher are your thoughts than ours. Lord Jesus, you are great and mighty and worthy to be praised. And so we adore you, Lord. You are greater than the idols that we create for ourselves. And we ask, Lord, that as we come before you in your word, that you would crush any of our idols, that you would crush the things that we're turning to instead of you, and that you would give us the grace of transformation to follow you more fully. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are going to spend a little bit of time this week in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and maybe getting into a little bit of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And friends, I've been so convicted by these passages because they're so timely. And it's almost like when we hear what Paul is describing, what's happening to Timothy, it's like so similar to what's happening in our world and our culture. So this could almost be written to us. But a little bit of background, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is like one of Paul's spiritual sons. And Paul and Timothy met, and Timothy was half Jewish. And he had a really faithful mother and grandmother. He was raised by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. And we hear about that in 2 Timothy. And he became kind of like he was being discipled by Paul. And it's kind of crazy. You might remember Timothy in Acts because he and Paul meet. And then Paul's like, wait, why aren't you circumcised? And so Paul has Timothy circumcised as a Jewish man, as an adult. And so that's kind of a memorable thing that happens in Acts. And so Timothy becomes Paul's travel companion. Paul is mentoring Timothy in the faith. They go on many missionary journeys together. And really, these letters are aimed at encouraging Timothy. This is still believed to be written during Nero, Emperor Nero's persecution. This is shortly before Paul's execution under Emperor Nero. And this would be his second imprisonment. So he's writing, like many of his letters, from prison. And so this is, 2 Timothy is considered to be Paul's final letter. So these are some of the final things that we'll see him say. We don't know if this is like the last ones that he wrote or just the last ones that he sent, but Paul's writing here to Timothy with an urgency, and Timothy is leading the church in Ephesus. So Paul is in prison, and he's writing to Timothy, who he's mentored, who he's loved, who he's discipled, who he's walked with, and then he sent him out on his own to lead one of the biggest churches, to grow one of the biggest communities. And so this is what Paul has to say. And again, I think that's important to know. If this is what Paul's saying before his execution, this is what Paul's concerned about before his death, what he's encouraging Timothy with. And so I want to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. And he's given a lot of practical instructions. It's funny, the part I've read this a lot because this page in my Bible is actually falling out as I'm reading it right now. This is a fantastic letter. 2 Timothy is very short. It only has 4 chapters. And so you can read it all in one sitting. So I would encourage you to go in your prayer and read it. And today, because of the background that we had, we're just going to kind of scratch the surface on what the Lord is saying. And then we'll dive in through the rest of the week. So I'm going to go ahead and read the passage. I'm going to read a pretty big chunk. I'm going to read 3:10 all the way through 17. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my sufferings, what befell me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, and persecutions I endured. Yet from all of them, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That is a really fantastic chunk, friends, of scripture. And I hope you're recognizing some of the themes jumping out there that we've talked about over and over and over again on the show. And I think a lot of this is a word for us as we begin to unpack this. Paul is writing to Timothy before his execution. Timothy is leading a church. And what we'll see in this book, and he says it before in chapter 3, he describes the context of what Timothy, and he says, in these days, there will come times of stress. This is the beginning of chapter 3. And just for some context, there will come times of stress, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. Avoid such people. And the thing that's crazy about that passage, friends, is you're reading that and you're like, yeah, that's the world. The world's so worldly and they love themselves and they love pleasure and they love money. Yeah, get them, Paul. That's the world. Like, that's outside of Ephesus, all the people that don't believe in God. And then he says, these people hold the form of religion but deny its power. And so Paul's telling us, I am talking about people in the church. And I don't want you to hear this as like spiritual versus religious, because that's the big thing. No, religion is good, right? The Catholicism is good. We need the structure. God has given this to us. And so we're not talking about religion in that sense, but he's talking about Pharisees like Jesus did, who are holding this form of religion, but denying its power, because in the midst of holding this form, they're lovers of self, they're lovers of pleasure, swollen with conceit. That's a crazy image. That's scary. And so Paul's telling Timothy, he's saying, this is what's happening, not only in the culture, but in the church. Sound familiar? Again, this could be written today, not only in the culture, but in the church. And this is the context with which he's writing to him. And he's saying, this is what's happening. And so because of this, I love this. He says, do as I do. And he doesn't say like, okay, so now do, like, I'm going to tell you exactly what to do and hate these people and go against them and kick them out and all this stuff. He says, avoid these people. And then he basically tells them, take care of your side of the street. Because what does Paul say in response? He says, you have observed me. You have observed me. And friends, I want to get into this more in detail tomorrow when we have more time. But he says, you have observed my teaching. You have observed my conduct. You have observed my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my suffering. He's saying, I have shared my life with you. And so what I think one thing that I want to say here as we close out, what's really important that Paul is doing is he is giving a clear warning and teaching to somebody that he's discipling, that he's responsible for. He's walked with Timothy. Timothy isn't just a random person that he's like, hey, look out for these people. They're crazy. He's walked with Timothy. He's poured into him. He's earned his trust. And so from that place of authority that he's been given by God, he is warning him about the evils in the world and then the church. And then he's saying, remember how I gave my life to you. And this is what you're going to draw inspiration from. This is what you're going to draw strength from. I've shown you what to do here. Because I'm not just telling you from afar. And what Paul's doing is he's not just spending all of this time criticizing. He's giving solutions. He's not saying all these people are terrible. And so let's just spend time sitting around and talking about how terrible they are. He's saying, this is the reality of what's happening. We have to take stock of what's happening. But now this is how you act. And friends, I think this is a warning to us to say, stop sitting around constantly commenting on everybody else's behavior. There's a way that God's saying, what do you see? Okay, you're seeing rightly. We have to know what's going on so we know how to walk. And now how will you walk? It's us that we need to focus on. God bless you. Join me again tomorrow as we continue in 2 Timothy.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.